Right, good morning everyone. Welcome to God Stories. I have no idea what number we are up to now, but I know it's a lot. Appreciate you guys coming out this morning. For those of you that are watching live, good morning. For those of you that watch this later, my name is Stephen Alls, and Brad asked me if I could come on and hang out with you guys this morning. So he told me that you've been discussing some aspects of Ezekiel and the dry bones. And I love that passage. I find parallels to that passage all throughout the scriptures. I've been on this journey for years now where the Lord said, when they asked him what was the greatest commandment, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And in those things, you fulfilled the entire law or the whole commandments. And so I've been on this journey with the spirit of trying to find the aspects of loving God invisibly as he is in heaven, supernaturally and spiritually, and also in his body as he is on the earth. And I have to be honest with you now, when I get the scriptures out and I start to read, I see just the elements of the piece that we play loving the Lord, and then the piece that we play loving our neighbor, having the opportunity to serve one another in a way that really creates on earth as it is in heaven. And I know a lot of us, you know, we want on earth as it is in heaven. We want heaven to be here. And the first aspect of that is to connect with the Lord as he is in heaven, to see what it even looks like in heaven so that we can then release it here on the earth. And so this aspect of Ezekiel and the dry bones, it's a classic case of the Lord giving him a chance to survey the surroundings. And in the natural, it didn't look very good. You know, he said the bones are exceedingly dry, which means, man, don't ask me about these people because I can't see your heart for them the way that you're describing. But if you tell me what to do, I will do it. And that's encouraging for someone like me, who's still trying to get delivered from the cause and effect nature, trying to stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and truly eat from the tree of life. Ezekiel just humbled himself and was mature enough to say, hey, look, if you ask me, there's not much here, but I'm willing to go with what you see. You just need to tell me what that is. And so for some of you that are in tough situations right now, if you're in relationships where it doesn't seem like there's much opportunity, it may seem dim or dark, you know, work may seem too far gone. And so the posture that we have an ability to adopt is, man, in the natural, this doesn't look very good, but I believe you can show me something different than what I'm currently seeing. And so in that first, you know, set, it ends up, you know, the bones start to come together. The Lord says, prophesy to the bones and speak to the bones. And so the bones start to come together and there's a great rattling or a big noise, right? And I like to see that as just the iron sharpening iron, man, people rubbing each other the wrong way, having to kind of shift and fit into position, and people are moving and transition is happening because the Lord is taking people from where they were to where they need to be. And there's all these connections that are both being taken away and connections that are being made. And it's a huge mess. There's just chaos all around. And for someone that can't see the big picture or the heart of the Lord for that situation, it just looks like a mess, honestly. Because if you can imagine those bones or those people being like a big jigsaw puzzle. You know, at the beginning, when you're starting, there's just a big pile of pieces in the middle, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? And then you realize through discipline, man, the first step is, man, let's just get all the pieces turned over so we can even see the right side up, right? And that can be what's going on for a lot of us in our life in certain phases is, man, let's just get all the pieces turned up the right side so we can see what colors they are, whether they're a border piece or not. And then a lot of us, we end up starting to separate things out like, man, let's put all the blue pieces over here. Let's put the red pieces over here. Let's put all the border pieces over here to try to define or bring some sense or understanding of what it is that we're even trying to accomplish. And so when we look at these dry bones, we see that there is a process that Ezekiel and the Lord go through in order for the family or the army of God to truly come together and be powerful and strong, right? And so I want to show you just a couple of examples here in Acts that reveal what it can look like when the bones start to come together, when the family of God really start to come together. And they're actually in adjacent chapters here in Acts, but I thought it was funny because it's a completely different parallel from one story to the next. And so if you want to, you can read it later or you can follow along with me. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this is a familiar story to a lot of us. It's Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And sometimes when the body is starting to come together, it doesn't always look like an upward trajectory, right? Sometimes the Lord asks us to do something that looks like we're going down in order to go up. And so this is one of those instances. It's the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and he says, "Arise and go down toward the south, which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Now, I don't know about you, but when my prophetic words or my dreams come and they end with a sentence like, "This is desert," I'm a little bit nervous because I'm not sure what he's asking me to do, but he's warning me that this is a dry wilderness place. And so he's just trying to help him understand this is something that you're going out to that doesn't look like much. And so he's giving Philip a little bit of understanding. He's helping him on the front side say, "Hey, look, this isn't some big explosive crusade ministry trip thing that you're embarking on. You're going out into the desert for me and for my people." And so so Philip goes out and obviously he sees the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Spirit says to Philip, "Go and overtake the chariot." And so Philip either was a really fast runner in the natural or the Spirit helped him. And Philip ran and overtook the chariot and came up to the Ethiopian eunuch and said, and saw that he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And so they engage in discussion, right? The Lord has sent Philip to the desert. While he's out in the desert, he sees this Ethiopian eunuch and he hears the next phase or the process of his journey. "Go and connect with this guy in the chariot." And it requires him to be active. It requires him to run after and be obedient to the voice of the Spirit. Can you imagine if Philip had decided to wait 15 minutes and decide, "Man, I don't know if that's the Lord or not. I felt like maybe I was supposed to be talking to that guy over there, but he's in a chariot and I'm on foot." And Philip could go through all of those excuses that hit our brains when the Lord breathes on something or asks us to do something. We all of a sudden hear all of these reasons why not to do it, or why it would be a bad time, or maybe we should wait. Can you imagine how much faster or how much longer Philip would have had to run after that chariot if he had waited 15 minutes to respond and be obedient to the voice of the Lord? That would be crazy. And so he comes up and he sees him reading, and that's where some of this common sense stuff comes in. And you guys know I'm a big advocate for common sense, especially in the kingdom. I believe the Lord has infused a lot of common sense in the scriptures and in the kingdom, and I'm searching for it all the time. And so Philip comes in and he just sees that the eunuch is reading in Isaiah. And so he engages him or meets him in the place where he's already at. He's not requiring anything of him at this moment. He's simply engaging him in conversation and meeting him where the eunuch finds himself. And so it talks about this discussion. And so the eunuch says, "You know, I can't really understand." And so Philip, it says, begins, he opens his mouth, and at the beginning of the scripture, he preaches Jesus to him. That's Acts 8:35. It says, "Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." And that's just awesome, because it says in Revelation that we overcome by the word of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony, right? And so there's this picture, again, like I mentioned, of the part that only the Lord can do, which is the sacrifice on the cross for our sins, reconnecting us in relationship to the Father. And then there's the part that we can play, which is the power of our testimony and speaking our testimony. And so when Philip is speaking here, he's introducing a Jesus in the way that he knows him. He's able to relate the scriptures of how Isaiah has described Jesus, and he's able to mix the personal experiences that he's had and the stories that he knows from Jesus's life on the earth, and he's able to mix those two things together into a powerful combination that opens the eunuch's eyes. Now, it's amazing because they've been traveling along while this discussion is going on, and as soon as they went down the road, after Jesus has been introduced and the eunuch wants what Philip is describing, it's amazing that they see some water in the desert. They just happen to come by some water, and the eunuch says, "Hey, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And at this point, Philip is not trying to or even telling the eunuch the next steps of what they need to do to be in relationship. The Spirit has now taken over, and the Spirit is illuminating the path for this eunuch, and Philip just is able to participate with it. And that's so cool, because I don't know how many times I have been in spots where the Lord has put me into a spot. I've maybe said a couple of things, maybe extended some act of kindness, and then it's like the Spirit takes over and shows that person what needs to happen next. And at that point, you're just along for the ride, and you're participating with what the Spirit is speaking to this person that's just been introduced to the love of Jesus. And so that he gets baptized into it, and then as soon as they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. And then Philip was over here at Azotus or Azotus, and passing through, he preached in other cities, right? So what happens is, for this dry bones wilderness experience, sometimes the Lord will send you into a dry, deserted place for one person. And this eunuch, he was hungry. He didn't even know what he was looking for. He just knew that the Spirit was drawing him, and he did the best he could with what he had. He was searching the scriptures, but it didn't make sense because he didn't have the door, which is Jesus, to go through in order to access all of this understanding. And so if you can picture it like a big map, you know, as Jesus and the Father being our general, and they're looking at this map and they see this Ethiopian eunuch that wants to know them but doesn't have the understanding, and they see Philip, who has some understanding on what it's going to take for this body to come together and be living and breathing and active. And so they send Philip because they know he's willing to go out into a desert, dry place just to illuminate the scriptures for one guy. And what we see is that the Ethiopian eunuch comes in, and then he's baptized into this revelation of Jesus, and then Philip disappears before he can mess it up. Well, they don't say it there, but that's my thought process as I read this, is the eunuch had just been introduced to Jesus through Philip. And then the Lord took Philip and put him into the next phase of where he was going to help people, so that Jesus could be the Ethiopian eunuch's teacher rather than Philip be his teacher. And sometimes, you know, with this body coming together, sometimes we get this feeling like the people and the connections that we make, the friendships that we make, maybe people that we've met at a life-changing conference or just run into because they said something to us in a prophetic word, or they shared a dream, or they prayed for us for healing. Sometimes we feel like that those connections that result in a life-changing moment need to last. And that's just not always the case. Sometimes the body coming together is someone coming into your life for a pivotal moment to be a catalyst to get you to that next place, and then they disappear. And you're okay, and they're okay, and you both just go along for your journey. That, if you could capture that, that'll really help some of you out there in the season that you're in. Some of the people that have gone on their way, the Lord sent them on their way so that you could then move into the next thing that He has for you, wanting to be your teacher rather than you relying on the person that provided that life-changing breakthrough. When I was younger and immature and stupid and all of those things. You know, I used to come away from some of these testimonies and stories of people being healed or set free through the prophetic word, and I actually thought that me being there was what caused that thing to happen. And the older I get, the more I realize the Lord is weaving so many more layers deep that we can understand. It's just unfathomable. And if we could truly be delivered from thinking we know what caused the Lord to respond, then we would live a much happier life, right? We would be delivered from the knowledge of good and evil. We would start to detox from cause and effect. And I've come to the realization that some of these moments where the Lord broke into people's lives and the light bulb went on and these amazing expressions took place, it wasn't because I was there. It was because the Lord had been preparing this person for months or sometimes years for this breakthrough moment, and I just happened to be the person who had the honor of helping to facilitate the transaction. It wasn't because of what I was bringing. It was because I was willing to be obedient to the process, because the Lord had something in a way of love that he wanted to pour out on this individual. And so if we can understand that, then we won't overly rely on the person that provided the breakthrough to be the person that sustains us in the next season. A lot of times the person that provides the breakthrough, if we're not careful, we can create a over-reliance, or we can create a codependency on them to provide our next breakthrough moment when the Lord wants to be our breakthrough. I don't know who that's for, but just want to toss that out to you. But with this body coming together, there's so many different ways that it can happen. Philip, you know, goes out into the wilderness and the eunuch, and all of a sudden there's this amazing thing take place. But then you have the next chapter, right? And the next chapter is Saul turning into Paul. And we all know this scripture. I'm not going to take time to illuminate the process here. But I want to just pick out this part of Ananias baptizing Saul, right? Because Saul, to this point, has been the chief persecutor of what Jesus is trying to do on the earth, right? But he thinks he's doing the right thing. And that's something that as I get older, I'm starting to try to use as a baseline, that the majority of people that get up in the morning are really trying to do the right thing. And if they knew what they were supposed to do, or if they knew a better way to do it, they really would try to accomplish it. And if you can live from that default mode, then you can understand, man, if someone's struggling, it's not because they want to be struggling. It's because they need a little help, and they need some understanding. They need some support. They need some wisdom on how to begin to take ground in that area. And so Saul, he's doing the opposite of what he's supposed to be doing, but it's in the name of the Lord, right? And we all have been surrounded by people. We've had experiences in church, outside of church, where people that are well-intentioned and well-meaning have done something in the name of the Lord, but in reality, the fruit of it has been the opposite of what the Lord wanted to do in that situation or circumstance. And that's really an opportunity for us to be like Jesus and be able to echo that, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And man, if you can extend that forgiveness when someone is persecuting you, when they should be encouraging you, then that thing won't take hold inside of you. You'll be able to live free from it, and you'll be able to extend forgiveness, which will sow a seed to that person's future deliverance. And that makes it fun, because it may take 10 more years, but you played a part in that person getting their deliverance because you extended forgiveness when you had the right to become bitter or resentful. And so Saul, he has this amazing conversion experience. You know, he gets knocked off his high horse. He gets blinded by the Lord. He finds out that basically the opposite of what he's been doing is what he's supposed to be doing. And he's blind, and he's in this bottomed out, man, I need help. Someone please help me moment. And the Lord starts speaking to Ananias, right? And so in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says that there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord came to him in a vision and just said his name, Ananias. And for those of you that have had the Lord come to you in revelatory ways, whether it's in a dream or a trance or an experience, just hearing your name, there's so much infused from the heart of the Father in hearing your name spoken to you. I can imagine that Ananias got super excited about what the Lord was going to say next. And so he pops up and he's like, "Here I am, Lord. Man, this is amazing. I've heard the Lord's voice. He knows me. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything." And that's dangerous, because then the Lord says, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, inquire of the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen you, Ananias, coming and putting his hand on him so that he can receive his sight." Uh-oh. Man, can I take back the fact that I said, "Here I am, Lord," because this one looks inconvenient and possibly dangerous. This guy has a reputation, right? So Ananias says, "I have heard much about this man, how he has done harm to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." In other words, Ananias starts trying to help the Lord out with the backstory of why he shouldn't do what the Father is asking him to do. And man, if this doesn't sound like us, I don't know what does. Just think, probably in the last few days even, the Lord has spoken something to you or impressed something in your spirit or in your heart, and you thought, "Man, that can't be right. Did you know about this? Maybe if I give you some natural information, it will change what you want to do in the spirit." I see myself in this all the time. There's just so many reasons naturally why what you're saying spiritually doesn't make sense and should not work, Lord. Let's not do it that way. Let's find a different way. And anytime that you find yourself trying to subject spiritual to natural, then you're out of order. And so we have this battle. We try to make things make sense when they were never meant to make sense in this level or on this plane, in this natural realm. And so the Lord says to him, "Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children, and I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And so Ananias, now that he gets more understanding about the potential and the impact that Saul, who will become Paul, is supposed to have, then he goes, "Oh man, thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to do this." It didn't change probably the nervous factor that he had. It didn't change the fact that there was real risk involved, but it showed that the opportunity he was about to embark on was really a key piece of the body that needed to come in. It was like a bone that was laying off on the side that needed to be clicked in because it would help a lot of the other bones move. And man, it's impossible to overstate the power of the Lord sending you to one person that needs to be fit in. Because there are times that we are waiting on people, we are waiting on things to change, we are waiting on circumstances to change, and there are missing pieces around us that if the Lord would click that piece of the puzzle in, it would make that whole section start to come alive and start to work. And Saul or Paul was one of these people, and Ananias got to be the guy that brought a big kind of, you could think of Paul as like one of the joints of the body that caused maybe a whole arm to move or a whole leg to move, or that all of a sudden when he got fit in, it caused so many other people in the body to understand their place, know their place. We're still benefiting on how our understanding of Jesus and the body works because Ananias was obedient to play his part in the conversion of Saul. And so we have to just take a little bit of encouragement that the Lord is working things that we don't understand. And if we'll be obedient and faithful to it and participate with it, then we can see things happen. Some of you have heard this story years ago. I was in Manchester, England, and we were about to do a ministry over a weekend at this campus organization on a university campus in Manchester. And I don't sleep very well, but especially on planes and trips. And so this person recommended, "Man, take this pill and it'll help you sleep while you're on the plane." And so I foolishly took this pill and tried this thing out, and it didn't make me sleep. It just made me groggy and irritable, right? I don't know if you've ever been in that spot where you're like not asleep, but you're not awake because you're feeling that foggy haze thing going on, but it's not a fun place. And so I was groggy and irritable by the time we got off the plane. And of course, you know, we land that day and we're going to start the conference that evening. And so by the late afternoon, early evening, I just need some coffee. I need some shots of espresso to get me going, because you don't want someone who's irritable and cranky prophesying over everyone, right? It helps to have coffee and caffeine when you want to reveal the Lord's heart for people, right? And you guys know in Proverbs, I found it, I can't remember the reference, but bad coffee corrupts good character. And so I lived that in Manchester during that time. And so I'm just messing with you guys, but we really did want to find some coffee. So the gang of us, we set off for coffee. They say it's just down the road. And had this demonstrative friend named Jason that he was just always just over the top, and he never met a stranger, and he was always engaging people in random conversations. And and so we were on the street corner waiting for the light to turn, and I hear him say to this group of people, "Have you ever heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And honestly, in my heart, I was like, "Oh no, here we go. You know, let's just, oh man, this is, gee." And I start to have all those mental reactions of why we shouldn't be doing this, because we need to go get coffee and we need to help these other people that are coming to the meeting later, just being honest. And so so they're like, "No, we don't know anything about that." And he's like, "Well, would you like to find out?" And before I know it, we're gathered in a circle and we're going to pray that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And so so I do my best to switch over and to start to become spiritual, you know, like it's a switch that you can flip. And so I set aside all this other stuff and we're just praying for these people. And we had this big old time of praying in tongues and being loud and shouting on the street corner. And then they decide, okay, that's cool. And we move on. And honestly, I don't remember anything about that group or how that took place, or, you know, I just talked it up like, "Man, that was good. We prayed for them, and then let's go get coffee." And so I went and we got our coffee and we did our meetings, and I don't remember anything about the meetings, but I do remember that on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday morning after service, it was in a different part of the city, and this is a city of a few million people, but we see this guy come up to us after the service with this huge smile on his face, and he said, "It's you guys." And when a person comes up to you with a big smile on your face and says, "It's you guys," you know that there's a story that's about to come out. And so he said, "No, you don't understand. You guys were the ones that were outside my window on Friday night." And we said, "Man, what are you talking about?" He said, "No, you don't understand. I was in a really dark place. I was at the end of my rope. And I knelt down next to my window and it happened to be cracked open. And I told the Lord, I'm having a really hard time, and if you're real, you need to show me, because if you don't show me, I'm just going to give up and end my life." And he said that in that moment, as he was saying that, he started to hear a commotion on the street, and he looked out, and there were these crazy people praying for other people on the street corner and talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, he knew that us crazy American people down there doing our thing was the answer to his prayer that God was real, and it gave him the hope that he could get back up and continue on his journey. And the most beautiful part about that whole thing is I can take zero credit for anything that happened in that testimony other than I needed caffeine. And if you start to understand how the Lord is always making you better than you really are, he's always helping you, he's posturing you, whether you are kicking and screaming and he's dragging you, whether you're going willingly, it honestly doesn't matter. I'm an advocate for good character. I'm an advocate for doing things from a positive, optimistic perspective. But if that's not where you are right now, do it anyway. Because the obedience is the key. Whether you're obedient with a good attitude, whether you're obedient with a bad attitude, just participating in the plan of God for your life, the journey of the Lord for you today, is key. Because in retrospect, in hindsight, when you look back, you're going to see how he orchestrated things to make you come out much better than you deserved, or much better than you even acted during that season or during that circumstance. And that's the beauty of Jesus. That's the beauty of the love that he has for us. He is so in love with us that he is constantly orchestrating and fashioning and carving out little pockets and little opportunities to give us just to remind us that he's in relationship with us. And so if you're in a spot where you feel like it's all dry, ask the Lord while you're there, because that means that for some reason he has entrusted a dry spot to you. And that means that he must believe that you have the capability to help turn or change that person's situation or circumstance. If you're in a dry place, if you're in a tough place, then he sees you as strong. He sees you as capable. He sees you as a carrier of light that can start to change things. And man, we'd hold our heads up so much higher if we knew the power that resided within us, that when we were put into these dark places, dry places, chaotic places, if we start to see those things as badges of honor, and that the responsibility or the honor from the Lord that he would put us in those places shows us how he really feels about us. And so I just want to pray for you guys today. I know there's a lot of people out there that are facing things that are, there's obstacles and there's challenges, and I just want to pray that the Lord will remind you that he's put you there for a reason, and that he sees you as capable of handling what you're facing. And so, Lord, right now, I thank you for this whole group. I thank you for just God Stories in general. Lord, I thank you for Brad and Susan and Living Vine, the way that they are just going out there with the message of the love of Jesus. And I pray this morning for all those that are watching live, for those that are watching even later on the archive or listening to it on a podcast in the future. I pray that they would begin to have their vision flipped from how they see it and how they sense what is happening around them versus how you see it and what you sense. I believe that you see us as capable, that you're excited about the opportunities that are in front of us, that you see us as strong and courageous. Lord, that there would be Gideon moments for people that listen to this episode, that there would be people that the angel of the Lord would stand before them and say, strong and courageous, mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor, and that the scales of I'm the least of the least, and that there's a reason that that can't work, and all of those mental torment thoughts that come and try to bombard and drown out your voice, I pray that those things would be cut away, that your sword of the Spirit would come and begin to cut off those lies, would begin to cut off the doubts and the fears, and that we would stand up and be the strong, mighty men and women that you have created us in the way that you see us. And Lord, I pray that you would entrust us to go into places just for one person, that you would entrust us to go into places just to reveal your heart to someone who's hungry and looking for you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to even discuss things like this and to learn about you. I pray that all of us would go to the next level in understanding your love, both for us and for the people that you've connected us to. In Jesus' name. Well, we love you guys. Thank you for listening. I think Brad will be back next week to talk a little bit more about how the body is coming together, and he'll have some stories for you of what's been going on. But I just want to encourage you that you can do it. If he's put you there, it's because you're capable. So keep your head up, keep looking to him, just set your eyes and fix your eyes on his gaze, and don't get focused on what's going on around you, but focus on what he's doing in you and through you today. We love you.